Support for ClimateCast comes from Bank of America, financing clean energy initiatives and advancements in renewable energy, and spurring innovation in and the growth of environmentally focused companies, markets, and jobs. Bank of America, N.A., member FDIC.
2018 was another costly and devastating year for extreme weather in the United States. Our chief meteorologist, Paul Huttner, follows those extreme events and the climate change connections on our regular ClimateCast broadcast. And Paul joins me now for a special look back at 2018 today. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Tom.
Let's start with the extreme weather events of 2018. It wasn't the biggest year ever, but it was pretty big, right?
Yeah, it was close, Tom. We had 12 of those billion-dollar weather disasters in the U.S. in 2018. That's pending final numbers. That's the third highest total after 2011 and 2016. And these disasters were primarily hurricanes and wildfires. You may remember Hurricanes Florence in the Carolinas and Michael on Florida's Panhandle Coast. Mm-hmm. And we saw extreme rapid intensification, especially with Michael. Warmer than average Gulf of Mexico waters fueled that rapid intensification. That's the same dynamics as we saw with hurricanes like Harvey, Maria, and Irma in 2017.
And what do we know about climate change connections to this year's storms?
Well, increasingly, scientists are seeing identifiable climate change fingerprints. I asked Penn State climate scientist Michael Mann about that as Florence headed for the Carolinas.
Every single storm surge that arrives on the East Coast, you can add one foot to that storm surge that's due to sea level rise. So that's an impact of climate change that is indisputable because of sea level rise due to the warming of the planet and the melting of ice.
The bottom line, Tom, slower jet streams produce slower, wetter storms, and warmer ocean temperatures produce rapidly intensifying hurricanes, and that can make stronger storms at landfall.
All right, those are the storms. You also mentioned wildfires. It's been a year for those as well. Certainly the California wildfires dominated headlines for much of November.
They did, and that's part of a longer-term trend of bigger, more destructive western wildfires. And there are clear climate change links here also. It's hard to overstate what we saw, the impact entire towns like Paradise, California, incinerated in a firestorm. That fire, the Camp Fire, is the deadliest and most destructive wildfire in California history now. And we're seeing unprecedented fire behavior and arid fuels as the climate warms in places like California. I talked with Stanford University climate scientist Noah Diffenbaugh, who connected the dots.
We're getting warmer than average conditions year after year. And what that means is we're also getting severe hot conditions much more frequently. What that means is that, you know, the vegetation is more dried out. The aridity of the fuel aridity, as is the technical term, that's been at record or near record levels in these fires. That's a result of the warming temperatures here in California.
Now, Paul, it wasn't just fires and storms, although they certainly made news. A moment ago, Michael Mann mentioned melting sea ice. So remind us here of what's happening in the Arctic and why it is significant.
Yeah, and NOAA has reported that over the past 30 years, 95% of that oldest and thickest Arctic sea ice has just disappeared. This matters to climate in the Arctic, and it matters where we live. There's a growing body of science that says as the Arctic warms, it changes jet stream patterns, and less ice means sunlight is absorbed into the water, and that can warm the Arctic Ocean even faster. That can change the climate even faster in the coming decades. I talked with Rutgers University Arctic scientist Jennifer Francis in the studio.
There are many ways that what's changing in the Arctic is affecting all of us down here. So we've talked about sea level rise as one of those. We've talked about the effects on weather patterns. But there's also huge effects on the biological systems of especially the ocean. And those are probably some of our biggest unknowns and potential wild cards.
Now, some of the biggest climate headlines were not actually natural events. We had a couple of big reports this year, and the conclusions were pretty alarming, weren't they?
Yeah, I'll be honest, Tom. The greenhouse gas emissions trends are not good, and climate change is accelerating. That's what these big reports are saying. The gist of both this latest IPCC report, that's the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, and the National Climate Assessment are that if we don't act now to reduce greenhouse gas emissions, climate change impacts are going to be much more severe very soon. I asked University of St. Thomas professor John Abraham for his takeaway when the IPCC report came out.
What we learned from this report is it's no longer possible to avoid impacts of climate change. That's clear. However, if we want to avoid the really bad impacts, this is the last off-ramp. We're on a highway speeding towards some pretty catastrophic implications, and this is the last chance we have to get off. And if we take action now and reduce our emissions, we can leave this world a better place.
And I do think that John's positive takeaway is important to emphasize.
Despite then the pretty bleak news, Paul, you actually see some glimmers of hope?
Well, you know, I am an optimist, Tom, mm-hmm. and the jobs boom we've seen as we transition to a lower carbon economy is real. We've seen continued corporate progress, 415 companies pledging support for a lower carbon economy in the IPCC meetings. And we've seen major companies right here in Minnesota like Xcel Energy take huge steps forward with more carbon-friendly business models. That helps the atmosphere. I talked about that with Xcel Energy CEO Ben Folk.
I would never have thought 10 years ago, even 5 years ago, that we would economically be able to have this much renewables on our system and still have the reliability that all customers need and expect. 10 years ago, Paul, we were buying wind at $65 a unit. Now we're buying wind at 20 or less. Solar, large-scale solar, 10 years ago was $150. Now it's even in the upper Midwest, we're maybe not the best resource for solar, but it's $40. So the pace of technology is amazing, and I'll never bet against it.
So we've seen continued state and local government progress. Think Metro Transit and the trend toward electric buses. It's also going to be interesting to see what motivates nationwide political movement on this issue. We've seen proposals in the new Congress like the Green New Deal. I asked U of M Humphrey School professor Gabe Chan about why it polled very high in a recent national survey.
I think the Green New Deal is really inspiring because it's for something and not against something. I think the hardest thing that climate action has faced from a political standpoint is that it's anti-fossil fuels. It's anti-pollution. And what's exciting about the Green New Deal is it's pro-green jobs, pro-clean energy, pro-reduced air pollution. And those aspects, I think, really get people excited and want to come out and vote and work and campaign for these issues.
It will be interesting to see how that enthusiasm filters up into the 2020 U.S. presidential race. Tom, you've heard the phrase cautiously optimistic.
Uh-huh.
On climate change in 2019, you might say I'm optimistically alarmed. I am alarmed by the global greenhouse gas trends that we're seeing, but I'm also optimistic by the increased awareness, corporate and local government progress, and the quickening pace of solutions and technology. Climate change in 2019, it's now a race, Tom. It's a race to avoid the worst impacts before they become so bad they disrupt the lives we all want to live. If the world acts quickly, there is still time to grow economies, create jobs, and make our planet a better, safer, and more prosperous place. And the climate change news story will also accelerate in the next few years. That's one reason I'm so focused on reporting the impacts, trends, and opportunities that climate change presents.
And we'll be listening to those reports on ClimateCast right here with Paul Huttner. Thank you very much, Paul.
Thanks, Tom.